Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio. The show continues, and we're here until 4 o'clock. Tom Hush is my producer. I am your host, and 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are going to talk about more of those stupid internet challenges that got people hurt. We're also going to talk about quirkiest city in every state, and we'll remember the movie pass. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. But right now, David Alan Arnold is joining me. He is an airborne cameraman. He's the author of Help from Above. Works as an airborne cinematographer over 25 years. Been on the show before. Fascinating guy with a great story. And we welcome David. Hi, David.
Nick, thanks for having me back on.
Absolutely. Let's get to know you a little for people who might not have heard you before. How did you get into this into the world of helicopter camera work?
Well, I started sweeping the floor 25 years ago. I was entry level with no experience and no expertise, and they literally hired a hungry kid off the street.
So, how do you go from sweeping the floor to flying helicopters?
That's a good question. I really didn't appreciate exactly what was happening at the time, but in hindsight, I could look back and honestly say that I really was hired for my work ethic and my attitude. And I knocked on a lot of doors when I was a kid, and I just knew I wanted to work somewhere in entertainment. I didn't know I wanted to be a helicopter cameraman, but that's the door that swung open. And I was really hired in spite of my lack of credentials, just because I showed up on time. I worked really hard, and I always, whatever was going wrong that day, I always just tried to make things better. And I found over the years that those simple things are what they really were looking for. And so I was just constantly rewarded with opportunity. As I worked harder and harder, they would always give me new opportunities. And within 6 months, I was flying for major television shows and some movies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at some of your credits. We've got for television, Entourage, Amazing Race, Celebrity Apprentice, Deadliest Catch, Ice Road Truckers, Survivor, Axemen, American Idol, X Factor, Bachelor, Real World, Closer, Shark, Hell's Kitchen. And your film work includes Waist Deep, SWAT, Life or Something Like It, Some of All Fears, Driven, Dracula 2000, The World Is Not Enough, James Bond movie. So you've got a lot of experience under your belt, David.
It's been a great career, and it's just an honor to work on some of those TV shows and some of the awesome people that make those shows and movies work. And to see it from the air is quite a privilege. So I've really enjoyed doing that for now 25 years.
You know, you just finished the latest season of Deadliest Catch, which is a show about guys who go to extreme measures to capture crabs and so on and so forth, and there were 5 deaths this year during this season. Tell me about that.
Yeah, season 1 of Deadliest Catch 16 years ago, 6 men were killed before they even started fishing, and that was my introduction to the world of Alaskan crab fishing. It's considered to be one of the best paying jobs that you can get without a college degree, and it's also very, very dangerous. So a boat sank this January called the Scandies Rose, and that had a death toll, which was a huge tragedy. In this particular season of Deadliest Catch, during King season, an airplane that brings us into Dutch Harbor crashed and killed one of the passengers as it was trying to land in Dutch Harbor.
Man, oh man.
It's a dangerous place.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So do you think that this year is going to be different in terms of, like, because of the fatalities? Are they going to change anything or no?
Well, they'll cover it. I mean, that's the story of Deadliest Catch. It's the most money you can make without a college degree, but boy, is it dangerous. And Mother Nature is so unforgiving out there. So I'm sure they always cover these events during the making of the show. They definitely try to honor the fishermen who have passed and tell their story. And it has always been a really big part of the show is the death toll that comes with, you know, this amazing harvest that these men and women go out and you know, catch this Alaskan king crabs and what we call snow crab. It's just an amazing fishery, but also a very dangerous job.
Wow. David Allen Arnold is talking with us here on 720 WGN. It's the Nick DeGiglio Show continuing, and he's an airborne cameraman and the author of Help From Above. Talk about Help From Above. We had John to talk about that some time ago.
Help From Above is the story of how I started sweeping the floor and wound up flying for some of the big TV shows and movies that you mentioned. And I'm glad I wrote that book. I really love for kids today to hear my story because they might think, hey, if Dave's flying for Super Bowl or World Series, he must be some genius. And the truth is far from it. I love for kids to hear how I, you know, got my first break. I was literally hired because I took a picture of myself eating a boot.
Right.
And the vice president of the company that gave me my first big break, he was so impressed that I continuously, constantly kept coming to their office, even though they weren't hiring. But I kept coming back. Hey, how's it going, guys? It's me, David Arnold again. I could work for free. What do you need? And so that really impressed them. And when I took a picture of me carving into my work, like it was a sirloin steak with a big smile on my face, it was the best way that I could show them how hungry I was and that I was willing to do anything without complaint. And so that story is in Help From Above. And I love for kids today who are thinking about college, the world of work, what they want to do for a living, or if they could even aspire to a job like the one I have. And I love for them to hear how I got there.
Yeah. Well, it's a great story. And it made for a really wonderful book. So, all right.
Thank you so much.
David Allen Arnold is with us. He is an airborne cameraman. He's been working airborne cinematography for over 25 years. And we're going to talk more about that business. And we're also going to talk about the helicopter crash that took Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others away. We'll continue with that conversation. And right here, the Nick DeGiglio Show continues.
Ran into the devil, baby, only 20 bills. Spent the night in Utah in a cave up in the hills. Set out running, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. Home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
The Nick DeGiglio Show continues here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here until 4 o'clock. It is Triple Play Thursday. You pick the music that we hear every morning on the show. We have a different theme every morning. Triple Play Thursday is one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. Who requested that?
It's coming to us from the 847, a little Grateful Dead.
Yes. All right. Hey, this spring, Chicago's hometown baseball rivalry heads to Arizona. One lucky fan will win a trip for two to Phoenix, including airfare, hotel, and tickets to the Wintrust Crosstown Series game on March 13th. Register today at WGNradio.com/contest. That's WGNradio.com/contest. Sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, and presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. So get to the website and get registered now. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would like to join us, we continue our conversation with David Allen Arnold, who's been working in the world of airborne cinematography for 25 years. And David, we continue the conversation here with we talked about Deadliest Catch, where the weather gets really crazy. It also affects you. I mean, you're up in a helicopter. How do you handle that kind of weather? And what are some of the more dangerous situations that you've been in?
Oh, it is such an adventure to fly a small helicopter in the winds of Deadliest Catch. Season one, when we first arrived in Dutch Harbor to begin the show, the Coast Guard had just crashed one of their Jayhawks. It was a storm brought it down. They were trying to rescue some people off of a ship nearby. And I'll never forget the look on the Coast Guard, they came into our hangar, and they looked at our tiny little helicopter with one engine. It was like they had seen a ghost. And one of them leaned into me, and he said, "You're going out there in that?" Their twin-engine Jayhawk has incredible amounts of power. It has heated blades to keep ice from forming on it. And that aircraft had crashed into the Bering Sea that week. And so just to be in the sky above the deadliest catch is a wild ride.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And it's why the show is so popular. You know, people still tune into Deadliest Catch because this adventure that these fishermen go on to try and catch these king crabs is just, it's shocking. It's, you know, that water is so cold, it'll kill you in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's amazing to see that they can make so much money so quickly, but also, you know, it could take their life at any moment. And so it's just an awesome adventure, and to witness it from a helicopter hovering next to these boats as they're pounding through these giant waves and the Bering Sea spray is engulfing the entire boat, it's just an awesome spectacle. It's an incredible adventure, and it scares me, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I love the fact that I've been filming every single season of The Deadliest Catch, and it is always exciting, and this year is no different.
And Ice Road Truckers is another one of those shows that people watch for the similar reasons. And what was it like to be up in the air during that one?
Crazy. You know what a contrail is?
Well, you could explain.
A contrail is the frozen vapor that is ejected from a jet engine at, say, 2,000 feet. The air is so cold that the exhaust instantly freezes, and it leaves that white trail behind the jet.
Right.
Well, when we flew for Ice Road Truckers, it was so cold that our helicopter had a contrail. So instead of a white stream behind the aircraft, when we were sitting on the ground with the engine running, we were engulfed in a white cloud. Our contrail hung around us.
Ugh.
And it was so brutally cold. To me, it's uncomfortable because I live in Los Angeles, where it's usually room temperature year round. And so to be, you know, in 30 and 40 degrees below zero and trying to work and use a machine that has moving parts was just a crazy adventure.
Mm.
And for me, just to keep the lens from freezing, so I could still zoom in and out of the trucks as we're flying next to them on the ice road, was always a challenge. And it's the coldest I've ever been.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. You know, I can imagine, you know, with the weather and the other situations of you being up in the helicopter, have there ever been any close calls? Have there ever been, like, really, really scary, dangerous moments?
Many close calls. I think that's why our documentary producer wanted the books to be called Help From Above, because time and again throughout my career, I've gotten myself into trouble. I've wandered into blizzards. I have come very close to hitting the ocean. And each time I've managed to survive. And sometimes I probably shouldn't have. So I really appreciate life. Nobody counts every breath as much as I do. I'm just thankful for every second that I'm here on Earth. And it has on Ice Road Truckers, we got caught in a blizzard. We had to land on the ice road because our pilot couldn't see.
Oh.
So now he's shutting the aircraft down. Mind you, I live in Los Angeles, where it's usually 72 degrees.
Yeah.
And he tells me over the intercom, he goes, "Okay, Dave, put on your balaclava, put this on, put that on." And I said, "Why would I do that?" And he said, "Well, because when you get out of the aircraft, your face will freeze." And I said, "Oh, okay, let me go find that."
Yeah.
I mean, and fortunately, he knew that I wasn't from there, so he took extra care to make sure I didn't get frostbite instantly. But that was my first blizzard, was on the ice road of Ice Road Truckers. And it is just a wild adventure. And I can see why people always enjoyed watching the show, because it's nice to watch from a heated room, sitting on your couch, drinking a nice beverage, watching these guys try to make these trucks work in temperatures that are so cold that the parts on the truck sometimes just snap in half because the metal becomes brittle.
I've seen that show, and it is crazy to what those guys do. I mean, you just watch it, it's funny. You're absolutely right. You watch it from the safety of your own home, nice heated apartment. You know, you're sitting on the couch watching it and looking at these guys in the middle of a blizzard where it's like 30 below. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the places we go for that show alone are astounding. Instead of hotel rooms, sometimes we sleep in freezer containers. So imagine that. If you've ever been inside a walk-in, you ever been inside a walk-in freezer?
I have.
There's a glow-in-the-dark pin on the inside of the door. So if you're locked in the freezer, you can push that pin and get the door open to get out. And that's the doorknob at some of the hotel rooms up there. These are just desolate, frozen work camps where these men drive their trucks and go to work. And when we go up there, that's where we stay. And I mean, there are polar bears. You know, sometimes you push that glow in the dark plug to open your freezer door to get out of your quote unquote hotel room, and there's a polar bear standing outside. It is a crazy environment, and I'm always so glad when I come home from places like that, back to Los Angeles, where, like I said, it's pretty much room temperature year-round.
Yeah. David Alan Arnold is with us. It's the Nick DiGilio Show continuing here on 720 WGN. He is an airborne cameraman, has been working for 25 years. He has a book called Help from Above. In some of these situations that you've actually filmed. Now, tell me a little bit about how big is it? Like, so how many people are in the helicopter?
Typically, at least half of the time, it's just me and the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
On occasion, a producer or a director will fly with us, but the majority of the time, it's just me and the pilot.
Mm.
And I've been doing this so long. I've been doing this for 25 years. So we always have a funny conversation of if a producer is going to fly with us or if they'll just send me and the pilot. And the answer is they're welcome to come with us, but usually the director will just kind of sit quietly and not say much, just because I've been doing it for so long that I can tell the pilot exactly where to put the aircraft. If we have to work the radio and talk to one of the ice road truck drivers or a captain of a Bering Sea crab boat, I know exactly what to tell them and what kind of shots they need to make the show. So we're pretty much autonomous. So the most that we would ever have is three people, including the pilot. But most of the time it's just me and the pilot.
And let's say the director and other folks are around. Are they on the ground in a car? Are they driving along with you, or are they,
Yeah. So they'll drive, with us. Sometimes they'll meet us, so we'll work in one part of Alaska or Canada for ice road truckers, and then we'll fly ahead and meet another truck in another place, and sometimes there will be a producer there. It's to make a show like that in a place like that is just an incredible operation.
I bet.
And it's not particularly safe for the TV crew either. If you're a cameraman on The Deadliest Catch, you're on that very same boat, those horrific frozen hurricanes that come every year to the Bering Sea, and you're along for the ride. It's an incredible adventure, even for the crew on the show, just to be there and to survive it.
And it's the communication between the crew and yourself. I'm assuming this is via radio communication?
Yeah, it's almost all done by radio. That's how, 1 year we got lost on Deadliest Catch. Unbeknownst to us, a blizzard had come down on top of our helicopter while we were out over the Bering Sea shooting the crab boats. And because it was dark at night, we couldn't see the storm coming. And before we even realized we were in trouble, we were just, engulfed in a full blown whiteout blizzard.
Oh, man.
And our only link, back to the rest of the human race was our radios. That's all we had.
Yeah.
And the radio saved our lives, because when we became completely lost and disoriented in bad weather on the Deadliest Catch, we called the crab boats and had them to turn on all of their lights and point their boats towards Dutch Harbor so we could see which way to fly to try and get home. And if we didn't have those radios and if they hadn't helped us in that way, I wouldn't be here.
That's amazing. Okay, we're talking with David Alan Arnold, who is the author of a book called Help from Above. He's worked as airborne cinematography in a helicopter for 25 years. And we're going to talk more about some of the film work he's done, television work. And then, of course, we are going to talk a little bit about his thoughts on the helicopter crash that killed Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, Alyssa Altobelli, Christina Mauser, Ara Zobiane, and Sarah Chester and Peyton Chester. So those were the victims of this helicopter crash. And so we'll talk more about that right here on 720 WGN as the show continues.
Truckin', got my chips cashed in, keep truckin', like the doodah man, together, more or less in line, just keep truckin' on.
And the Nick DiGiulio Show continues here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio. Tom, you know who is a massive deadhead? Massive?
No idea.
George Karzis, the man who runs the greatest restaurant on the planet.
Really?
He is a huge deadhead.
I love to hear when people are deadheads because it does tell me a lot about them, I think, in a positive way.
And he's seen the dead, I can't tell you the number of times, and now all the offshoots of the band.
Dead and Company and those guys.
Since Jerry's passing. He is a true deadhead. I love that about George. I do. So, anyway, Gale Street Inn, greatest restaurant on the planet, by the way. It's Nick DiGiulio here on 720, continuing our conversation with David Alan Arnold, who is an airborne cameraman doing airborne cinematography for 25 years and the author of a book called Help from Above, both television and film. You've worked on some really very, very cool film. You've done some great film work. What's the difference between, you know, the kind of stuff that you do for television and working on film?
Well, it's two different communities. So it's sort of like radio and television. It's just, you know, some of it's similar, but it's just a different culture in each case. And now the cultures are kind of shifting because as internet companies take over a lot of television and what we would have traditionally considered film or movies, it's kind of wild. I just worked on a big show for an internet company, and it was really kind of a television show, but they had a budget equal to or greater than a feature film. So, it's an exciting time to be alive, and I love watching the world change into Netflix and Amazon and Apple and all these things that are growing so fast that I've never seen anything like it, and I've been doing this business for 25 years. So,
yeah.
So watching these new big, you know, companies start up and take over and grow so rapidly is just an awesome thing to behold.
It's crazy how the entertainment industry has changed over the course of just a few years, David. The way that we consume television, the way that we watch film, is different with all the streaming services, and you know, now streaming services are producing their own films and their own shows. The opportunities to work are just multiplied, you know?
It really is. It's growing so fast. It's just magical. And, of course, I love movies just like everyone else. I grew up watching movies. But to watch a movie, even 20 years ago, you pretty much had to, you know, get in your car, drive to a theater, buy a ticket, sit down, pay $20 for a drink, and a bag of popcorn. And, you had to go to a place and spend half your day just to get there and back home. And now I can watch a movie on my phone, which I always have in my pocket.
Yeah.
You know, and so to be able to get so much entertainment so easily just from a tablet or a phone that I've already got with me. You know, I could be waiting in an elevator and be watching a scene from a movie now. Yeah. And so naturally, the companies that deliver those things to us, including the companies that make the phones, now have the power to create entertainment for us to watch while we're waiting in the line at the supermarket, you know, or sometimes while we're supposed to be at work and nothing's happening. We can just check out a video, you know, and that not only does it give us, you know, fascinating things to witness, but also it connects us. So now billions of people are now connected and communicating and sharing. And, you know, we were talking about Kobe Bryant's accident. You know, so many people were able to share the shared experience of their grief and their shock and the pain they felt. And that's a powerful thing. So, you know, the companies that do this stuff and create the entertainment, I just love it. I just think it's an amazing time to be alive, and these are some great changes that are happening right now.
Yeah. Now, you, as far as your film work has gone, do you have any favorite film shoots?
Favorite film shoots? Yeah, Armageddon was an amazing one. It's in my book, and not just because it was an incredible Michael Bay production with Bruce Willis. It was a movie where I made a mistake on the job.
What happened?
You know, and I could have lived my whole life and not told people that I accidentally exposed a roll of film while we were shooting the space shuttles at NASA. But I did. I goofed up. I made a mistake. I damaged the footage. And the way that was handled by my boss, a legendary cinematographer named Kurt Soderling, the way he took care of me and the way he kind of corrected my mistake and took responsibility for it, he could have just fired me on the spot. It was a terrible error. It was unforgivable. But the way he handled it taught me so much about the world of work and how to really be a good boss and how to handle a mistake when it happens on your crew. It was just a kind of a... you know, it's an embarrassing thing for me, but also a fine example of how to do things right as a boss. And so I'm so glad that story's in the book. So people can read how I goofed up, but then also how Kurt, you know, really rose and handled it so well and kept us moving and kept us working. And, you know, we finished the movie and everybody was happy. But, you know, in the middle of all that, I made some terrible mistakes. And, you know, those to me are some of the great lessons is not how do you handle things when everything's great and going perfectly, but what do you do when things go wrong?
Yeah. Well, there's good lessons in that. There really is. Yeah. And it
taught me a lot.
I'll tell you, the reputation that Michael Bay has on the set, I'm assuming he probably would have went nuts.
Exactly.
I mean, because he's he's kind of a tyrant on the set is what I hear.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, Hollywood is full of stories of people like me getting fired sight unseen just because of a rumor that something went wrong. And so for me to make a huge mistake like that on a big Hollywood movie and not get fired and to be put right back to work it's just a great story, and I love for kids to hear that because they might assume, oh, Dave's worked on James Bond, Dave's worked on Armageddon. He must be this amazing God's gift to cameras.
Yeah.
And it couldn't be further from the truth. The way I got into those positions was just because of pure hard work and always taking good care of my boss, whoever that was. And therefore, when things go wrong, you know, I benefited from that. It was, you know, people would go out of their way to take good care of me because they knew that every single day I showed up early. I worked extra hard. I always went the extra mile to try and make sure that we didn't have a problem. So when I did have a problem, they remembered that, and that probably helped me a lot.
Yeah. It's Nick DiGilio show continuing here on 720 WGN, having a conversation with David Allen Arnold, who is an airborne cinematographer, author of the book Help from Above. We're also going to talk about the crash that took 9 people, including Kobe Bryant and his daughter, and get your thoughts on that, David. But one more film question here. You know, now that there's all this CGI stuff now where you can create entire environments, has that affected the demand of airborne cinematography?
all of the new technology has affected the demand for what I do. Drones are a huge impact. And I think drones are a blessing. You know, it's it used to be that the only way to get a shot of a car going down a street between the trees was to fly the helicopter that I'm sitting in between the trees and under the power lines and very low and close to things that we could run into accidentally. Wow. And so to be able today to do that with a small robot that can fly between the tree branches and not hurt anything and not make a bunch of noise is just such a powerful thing. It's marvelous what we can do with this technology. So a lot of the shots that I used to do are now done by drones. Mm-hmm. And I welcome it. I welcome this new technology. I welcome the fact that it makes me safer. I welcome the fact that it allows us to get more shots than we ever could get before that technology existed.
Yeah.
And so I marvel at the power that we have today to capture images, to share them, to communicate with other people around the world instantaneously. I love all of this new technology, and I really embrace the changes that are happening right now.
Yeah, and so it's got to be so much different than when you started over 25 years ago. I mean, you know, it's happened so rapidly, David. This new technology,
Nick, everything has changed in a very short period of time. And it makes me wonder, like, what is the next 10 years going to look like? Because 10 years ago, I couldn't imagine the world that you and I are sitting in right now. And the power that we have, each of us, you know, I watch kids, you know, people get mad because the kids are on their cell phones. I don't. I'm amazed that kids can have an entire world of information at their fingertips. You know, things that when I was their age, in order to find the answer to a question, you had to go to a place. You might have to travel 3,000 miles to get to someone that knows the answer to that question. And today, the kids can ask Siri anything. Anything throughout the known universe, they can ask Siri.
Yeah.
And Siri will look up web pages and you know, tell them the weather in other countries. They can see themselves from space.
Yeah,
sure. from their phones.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so many industries have changed in the past 10 years, everything from taxi cabs to helicopters to movies. Everything has changed. Nothing is untouched by these incredible revolutions of technology that are happening. And for me, I appreciate the fact. I don't disregard the downside. You know, a lot of people have lost their jobs because things have changed. But on the other side, I'm an optimist. On the other side of the coin, I can honestly say that things are getting easier. You know, and we, as individuals, we have the power to do things that used to cost millions of dollars.
Right.
You know, anyone today can make a movie with their phone.
Yeah.
And it used to cost millions of dollars to create that same quality of images. So I just marvel at all of this stuff.
Okay. All right. David Allen Arnold is with us. The conversation continues. We are going to continue the conversation talking about the accident, the helicopter crash from Sunday. And we want to get his perspective on it and some of the ideas of what would be happening as far as the investigation into the accident goes. Nick DiGilio show continues on 720 WGN.
Sugar Magnolia, blossoms blooming, heads all empty and I don't care. So my baby down by the river, knew she had to come up.
The Nick DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN, and the news is next from a Northwestern Medicine newsroom. Our discussion continues with David Allen Arnold, who is an airborne cameraman and has been doing it for 25 years. David, where were you when you heard about the helicopter crash?
Let's see, where was I? I was at home in Los Angeles. I live in the mountains above the city. And when I found about this, it was, you know, it took my breath away.
Yeah.
I think that my heart goes out to anyone and everyone touched by this tragedy. And because Kobe Bryant was such a part of our lives for so many years, I think a lot of people felt like they had lost a member of their family and that it had happened, you know, in a flash without warning.
Yeah. And, well, we were just talking to my first guest that I had on is also from L.A. and said it affected the city hugely.
It really is. And you know, Kobe Bryant had been such a part of our lives for so many years. You know, millions of people were instantly grief-stricken in a way that I think shocked everyone, that no one saw this coming. And it was just such a painful thing. And I've been through it in my own life and in my career. I've lost colleagues to helicopter crashes. And there's just no easy way out of that pain. You just have to wait for it to subside.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna Bryant, but also we don't want to forget the other victims in this crash. There was John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, and Alyssa Altobelli. And that's a family, a wife, a husband. He was a baseball coach. And Alyssa Altobelli played on the same team. She was also 13, only 13. And then there's Christina Mauser, who was an assistant coach of the girls' basketball team. She also died. Ara Zabiana also died was a flight student. And Sarah Chester and Peyton Chester, also 13, a mother and daughter, also passed away in this. And I want to forget those who passed, because it's a tragedy for everyone involved.
Amen. Nine souls on board.
Yep.
And every single one of those people had friends and family who are just devastated.
Yep. So tell me what you think is next here. You know, when you first heard about this, what did you think about in terms of, like, you know, like why this would happen in terms of weather? What were your first thoughts about that?
My first thoughts are, you know, kind of universal, really. It's a wake-up call for me, because if Kobe Bryant can go down, Kobe Bryant had everything.
Yeah.
He had the best helicopter that money can buy. And, you know, twin jet engines, just like an airliner, flew him around. He had the same helicopter that President Trump flies in his civilian life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's nothing finer. And so I knew that this was a freak accident. And therefore, it's a wake-up call for me to say, hey, guess what? You know, anything can happen at any time. There's no guarantees. And so it's a reminder for me to be careful how I live my life and to make sure that I'm doing the things every day that I want to be doing, the things that matter to me, not just the things that I have to do, but the things that I won't regret. And so it really is a shock to my system, you know, to have, like you said, nine people taken away so suddenly without warning and really without cause. You know, they did one of the safest things that you can do, is to step into a turbine-powered twin-engine helicopter. And now they're gone. And so it's just a reminder for me to, you know, to be careful how I live my life.
Yeah. So what is going to be happening with the investigation, David? What do you think? What are the next steps for the investigation?
You know, some of the smartest people on earth are going to parse the earth where this accident took place. They're going to leave no stone unturned. They're going to look at all of the information from top to bottom, every piece and part of the story. They're going to get a very clear picture of what led up to this accident. That's something I never speculate on. I let the people who are great at that to do what they do, and then to come back with, they're going to issue a full written report on everything that's known about the accident. It'll be very scientific, and that will tell us as much as can be known about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's entirely out of my hands. It is what it is. And it's, you know, we always want to learn from this kind of an accident. You know, were any mistakes made? Was something missed? You know, how did we get here?
Yeah.
And so that's going to happen, and we'll have a lot more answers when it does.
You know, on the other night on Stephen Colbert's show, he did a segment where he was pleading with companies to put black boxes in helicopters, because there's a, you know, when a plane crashes, you've got the black box. Helicopters don't have them. And he was pleading with them to put a black box in all helicopters, so in case anything like that happens, you can get more of an idea of how the crash happened. How do you feel about that?
I think it's like everything. All of that technology is coming. It's getting better and rapidly. And, you know, with advancements in technology, we're able to do things, and a black box is no different. So I think over time, those things are naturally going to be installed as they're developed, and it'll make us all a lot safer. You know, just by being able to know what was said before an accident, what was the aircraft actually doing, you know, can help us to prevent those kind of mishaps in the future.
Yeah, it was a very impassioned plea on the part of Stephen Colbert about that, and I thought that was an interesting angle to take, and you know, and get those black boxes in those helicopters in case something like this another tragedy, God forbid, happens. You have you have access to more information on why it happened and how you can prevent it in the future.
It's a great way to look at it, but don't forget, they're just simply, we live in a big world, you know, and we're kind of small and fragile.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Malaysian airliner that disappeared?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That plane had a black box.
Yeah.
And we still don't know what an entire airliner, what happened to it? Where did it go? Why did it, you know, move around the way it did? Why did it go off of the radar? Why were no radio reports, you know, coming from that aircraft? Where did it end up? We don't even know where the plane is.
Yeah.
You know, the best we can do is find little bits and pieces of it around the world that have washed up on shore. So, you know, again, to me, it's, you know, when something like this happens, it's a reminder to appreciate the way Kobe Bryant lived his life.
Mm-hmm.
And to, you know, to reflect on that, and just to remember that any of us can be taken at any time. So, you know, to just be careful how we all live. And yeah, let's make the technology better. It's coming. All that stuff's getting better. But Kobe Bryant did everything right. He was flying in an awesome aircraft with a tremendous over 30-year record of amazing safety and reliability. You know, he made all the right decisions, and this was out of our hands. This was a, call it an act of God or a freak accident. You know, it's just something that no one could have predicted.
Yeah. And you did, in fact, you have shot exteriors of Lakers games and flown over and covered that as well. So there's a connection there.
There is. For most of Kobe's career, when he was playing basketball at the Staples Center for the Los Angeles Lakers, I was circling overhead in a small helicopter with a gyro-stabilized camera, providing live pictures for the TV network.
Yeah. And so you've covered it from his – you basically covered, like, his entire career.
Yeah, I always knew when Kobe was playing because the Staples Center has rotating beacons, giant searchlights that scan the sky.
Yeah.
And so when I'm at 2,000 feet and I look down on the beautiful red and blue colors of the Staples Center, to see those lights lit up on the roof means that they're playing down there.
Yeah. David Alan Arnold is we're having a conversation with him. He's an airborne cameraman. He's the author of Help from Above. It's the Nick DiGilio Show on 720 WGN. And again, we do want to remember everybody who perished in that accident, not just Kobe Bryant and his daughter, but again, John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, Alyssa Altobelli, Christina Mauser, Era Zobian, Sarah Chester, and Peyton Chester. It's a tragedy. Three 13-year-old kids were taken in that crash, and it'll keep people a little bit more aware of safety in the air, right, David?
I think so, and also, like you said, it's important to remember everyone on that aircraft,
yeah,
and not just Kobe Bryant, but it's also important to remember that these helicopters fly for years and typically don't have an incident.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant flew in helicopters for most, if not all, of his career.
Yeah.
And never had an incident. And by contrast, every time I get onto the freeway in Los Angeles, I have to stop my truck because all of the cars in front of me are stopped.
Yeah.
Because there's been an accident.
Yeah.
And so literally, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people get killed in car crashes,
right,
every single year in the,
right,
United States.
Right.
And it doesn't cause me to be afraid to go near my pickup truck. You know, it is what it is. It's a,
yeah,
it's a risk. There's,
yeah,
a risk involved with traveling,
yeah,
and flying in helicopters is actually much safer than any of that. The statistics are astounding how safe it is to fly,
right,
in a twin-engine turbine-powered helicopter like the one Kobe Bryant had.
Okay. David, pleasure having you on, and thank you for your insights.
Nick, always, you know I'm a fan of yours. I always enjoy being on your show. Thank you so much for keeping us awake all night with your awesome, positive energy.
All right. All right, David. Thank you very much. David Allen Arnold here. The Nick DiGilio Show continues. The news is coming up.